gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Headlines worth talking about.
Oh, how y'all doing? Let's see. What's in the news today?
Headlines brought to you by the good folks over at Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. They can custom make your engagement ring, guys, and get you twice the size diamond for half the price of all of those other big box stores. You can do it at Kriegel Mesh. Check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com.
Someone asked on Shout It Out if you think anyone's ever swallowed a wedding ring due to a secret food proposal.
Oh, I don't know that you could.
You don't chew your food enough if you're.
If it's in mashed potatoes, maybe you swallow. I don't know. Let's ask the guys at Kriegel Mesh. You guys ever have anybody say, I swallowed my ring?
I mean, it would have to be a food item that you don't chew, like pudding or mashed potatoes.
Right, that's what I'm saying, like a pudding.
Or applesauce.
Like if you have a nice, dessert cup of pudding or something and you hit the ring in that.
Like a flan, maybe.
Now, that was very, very American of you. It's flan.
Flan.
Flan. Flan.
Flan.
I'll take some of that there, flan.
I think we're saying the same word.
I think with flan, you have flan. It's too hard of a substance to.
It's a custard.
Hide. Yeah, but it's a more solid custard. It's not a creamier custard. You could eat that with a.
Or you'd
fork.
Have to bake it into it.
Yeah, but you would find the ring in there is what I'm saying. Like with pudding or rice pudding or mashed potatoes, you wouldn't. You could just take a big spoon of that, eat it.
Mashed potatoes. French fry tater.
Now, you can't hide a ring in French fries, I'll tell you that.
Do you know that for sure?
How are you going to hide a ring in French fries?
Put it on one of the fries. Yeah. Put it on the fries.
Yeah, but they would see it. You're talking about hiding it where you would accidentally eat it. You're not going to accidentally pick up a fry and go, ooh, a ring, and not eat, you know.
Maybe you're not looking. You're just going from the plate
to
your face.
I'm starving.
That's how I do it. Not how you do it. Let's start with the NFL salary cap. The NFL salary cap will jump at least $10 million for the sixth consecutive year next season. The final number will be set in March. It's likely to fall in the range of $187 to $191 million. It was $167 million in 2017, $177 million this season. So for a sixth consecutive season, people have been wildly inaccurate about the demise of the NFL.
That's correct. When the salary cap goes up, that means the TV dollars are going up. Essentially, that's what it is. You take the TV money on a national level, divide it by 32, and that's kind of a range of what the salary cap is going to be around the National Football League. That's kind of how they get to that figure. So, yeah, all of this talk that the NFL is failing, not true at all, because every year the salary cap is going up. And since 2014, the salary cap has increased by 40% over the last 5 years. That's an amazing number. The NFL right now is king, and they're doing an amazing job with their business model.
Overestimated the failing NFL.
Yeah.
There we go. You guys want to talk a little buckets?
Greg Popovich has become the fourth all-time winningest coach in NBA history. Win number 1,211 in the career of Greg Popovich. Tonight, he passes Pat Riley. The final score from the AT&T Center. Spurs 111, Suns 86.
At the final call on the Spurs radio network, Greg Popovich moving into fourth all-time in coaching wins all-time. I didn't need that second all time. He passed Pat Riley 11 more, and he'll pass Jerry Sloan, Don Nelson, and Lenny Wilkins 1 and 2 on the list. Nelson has 1,335 career wins.
Well, Popovich's not. I think he's going to retire at the end of the season anyway. But I think he goes down, guys, as one of the most underrated coaches in sports history. Like when we talk about great coaches in sports. How many people throw Greg Popovich out there? You always go immediately.
A lot.
You go to Phil Jackson. You go to Lombardi. You go to Belichick. I don't think Greg Popovich's name gets thrown out there enough at all. I think what you look at with Greg Popovich is a guy who's basically owned the NBA for the last 20 years. And when people talk about great coaches, because he's in San Antonio, I don't think his name gets thrown out there
and
enough.
West.
Jerry West?
And that they're West.
Oh, and they're in the Western Conference.
You just kind of forget.
Yeah, I just don't think his name gets mentioned
especially
enough.
Especially the last 4 years, you've kind of, they got lost in the Golden State shuffle.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just there, but you don't really, I mean.
I think
he's ridiculously good.
I think that he's aptly rated, at least in the eyes of most fans?
No, I think he's definitely underrated. I don't think people realize the amount of championships and successful seasons that they've had in San Antonio. I mean, when he took over the Spurs, they were nothing. I mean, like, they didn't really even exist. Nobody knew who they were. And then he comes in and they win championship after championship after championship and were in first place perennially down there. I don't think he gets enough credit. I honest to God think he's one of the great coaches. Like, if you're doing a Rushmore of coaches right now, current coaches in sports.
Which we're not going to do.
Which we're not, but he's on it. I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the history of sports.
A little bit of baseball news for you. The hot stove getting a little bit warmer. The Royals making it official yesterday with outfielder Billy Hamilton. The Blue Jays releasing shortstop Troy Tulowitzki. He's now a free agent.
Boy, the bloom fell off that rose fast, didn't it?
Yeah. Should the Chiefs kick the tires on Troy Tulowitzki?
Yes, the Chiefs should.
And Andrew McCutchen doing my favorite thing in sports.
Troy Tulowitzki does sound like a hard-hitting safety.
He does.
So I'm willing to give
don't
it
go
a try.
Across the middle on Tulowitzki. I know that
Tulowitzki will drill you.
Andrew McCutchen did my favorite thing in all of sports. He signed with the crosstown team, signing a 3-year deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. So long, Pittsburgh. Hello, Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a big distance, you know, between the two cities.
Crosstown.
Yeah. I got cross state. That's like going from Kansas City to St. Louis.
No, it's like the Cubs and the White Sox, Bob.
Yeah, no, it's not. It really isn't. But I actually thought the same thing yesterday, Ryan.
Hold on, your tax structure is about the same.
About the same, yeah. When I saw that yesterday, I did have that same kind of thought. I'm like, man, he just went from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. He likes the Keystone State.
He's going to have to move.
Yeah,
the if city he's smart, of he runs love. The Rocky Steps today and does the celebration. Philadelphia fall in love with him.
Gotta get pissed when he finds out the statue's not at the top.
Not at the top.
I didn't know this could happen in the NFL, but apparently, if you are a coordinator in the NFL and you're not doing your job good enough, you can be fired. The Vikings firing their offensive coordinator John DeFilippo. Filippo. I don't really know. I don't keep up with the Vikings. They stunk it up on Monday night. Apparently, we're not going to blame Kirk Cousins. Apparently, we're not going to blame a whole lot of anything else. We are just going to blame John DeFilippo.
Well,
Mike Zimmer talking about the dismissal of their OC.
At the end of the day, it's pretty much a production business, and, you know, it's difficult. I mean, it's hard thinking about it, hard making the decision, hard because I have a lot of respect for John. I think he's a very, very brilliant mind. We weren't producing, really, was the end of it.
That's right out of the coach's cliche playbook. It's a hard decision, and, you know, it's a production business. Comes down to production. That's all you have to say, and just move on.
Yeah.
It's so generically great.
I don't understand what we expect from people to say, like, he wasn't doing his job, and we moved on.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't think we scored enough points with him, and the quarterback's not producing, so we're gonna try something different.
But basically, from what I understand, is that him and Zimmer were butting heads over, like, running the football. Zimmer wanted to run it more. DeFilippo wanted to throw it more, and he wasn't listening to his boss. I think it was more about insubordination, really, than it was about not doing what was necessary.
Page.
Yeah, I mean, like, hey, look, we got Kirk Cousins as our quarterback. We may have paid $84 million. We may have Adam Thielen, and he may be one of the best in the league right now. But it's we got a quarterback that can't get the job done of what you want him to do, so let's work in the run a little bit more. I'm not doing the run. Okay, then you're out of a job, man. Listen to your boss.
We've been paying attention to Barry Watch all season long. When he returned to practice, we thought, oh, boy, it's getting close, right? This Thursday could possibly mark the return of Eric Berry. Bob Sutton speaking yesterday. I know I just said that, like, I don't really know, though. Bob Sutton, though, speaking yesterday about if Eric Berry were to return this Thursday, would he be on a pitch count?
Yeah, we'll keep him, and, you know, Rick's going to keep it. If he plays all the time, and, you know, how much, I don't know what he's going to do yet, and just wait and see. But, yeah, it'd be all of us, and certainly his input is valuable. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, guys that have missed a lot of time, they don't want to come back out, you know. They've been waiting all this time to get in. But you got to be smart, and he's got to be smart with it, which I think he would be. And you know, we'll just have to see how it goes, you know.
28 seconds later, and I still don't know the answer.
I was just gonna say, that's a 28 second soundbite of him saying, I got no clue on what Eric Berry's
doing.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll keep him, and, you know, Rick's gonna keep it. If he plays all the time, and, you know,
what?
If Rick's going to determine the pitch count. Burkholder, the trainer. I think I think there's a chance. I'm with Andy on this one. I think there's a chance. That's sounding like
there's a chance I play too.
You're reading. I know we're reading a whole bunch of tea leaves and what have you. But if there wasn't a chance, you'd be like, well, he plays. You're like, well, I'm sure that he wants to.
So that's Andy's way of revealing that he's playing in a coy Andy type of way.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think Bob Sutton's, that to me sounded like Bob Sutton's optimistic. He's got a chance to play Thursday.
I hope he does.
Or he might not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right.
Or he might not. One of the two.
28 seconds ago. Me,
that's what they've been doing.
I don't know.
Hey, is Eric Berry going to play this weekend, Colin?
I don't know.
Hey, Bob, is Eric Berry going to play this weekend?
I could see that happening.
Oh, okay.
No, that's too definitive.
I don't know.
Jeez.
Headlines brought to you by Kriegel Mesh. You can check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com. Get twice the size ring for half the price of all of those other big box stores only at Kriegel Mesh.
By the way, I wasn't the only one that had a little gasp whenever I saw Tyreek Hill was listed as day-to-day.
Well, that Eric Berry's been day-to-day for 120 days.
That's the kiss of death right there.
But he was limited, did not practice.
Right.
So I'm good with that.
Limited means he put his uniform on, right?
Change his designation, please.
The road has to come through here. Has to. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Bob, here's your reminder.
Yes.
Here's your reminder.
What is my reminder?
Your punchline reminder or whatever from earlier.
Oh, okay. Let me talk to Ryan real quick.
Can you get that set up?
I'll do that.
All right. It is Ultimate Christmas 2018. We hope to see you tonight. Kansas Hall in Overland Park. 119th and Metcalf to benefit Noah's Bandage Project presented by Twin Peaks. Free event, 21+. But all 610 Sports Radio listeners invited and the entry is free. We want to say thank you for listening and thanks for your support of 610 Sports Radio all year round. So come on out, have a good time. Each person will receive one entry ticket for prizes and be able to receive more entries by donating to Noah's Bandage Project. Noah's Bandage Project giving away over $5,000 in prizes, including an arcade classic machine provided by Amini's. Santa Binkley and his elves will be on hand to help bring the holiday cheer as well.
Mm-hmm.
But all the proceeds going to Noah's Bandage Project. Ultimate Christmas will feature the Mikey Needleman Band.
These guys are awesome and fun.
You are the lead singer. It's live band karaoke.
Can I sing Fallout Boy, Honey Sugar, We're Going Down?
Sure.
You going to add an air kick to it?
Maybe.
Complimentary pizza buffet from 6 until 8.
I don't think Josh got it.
You're right, it was just 10. For us.
Yeah, it was just for you. I have no idea why that took an hour to set up. All the details at 610sports.com. But come out tonight, say hello. It's free.
Because I couldn't remember the prizes. Would you let Josh in on the secret, Ryan? Because I don't think Josh got that one. I'm watching Josh's face as Ryan.
I wasn't there. I don't know.
No, we weren't there, but we saw the video.
I just told him in his ear.
I'm sorry. I didn't watch that video. I'm sorry. Sometimes the organic that you talked about, Ryan, that's funny and continuing. Yeah. Sometimes we overthink it.
Maybe not. Mm.
Not so much.
It was funny for me.
Okay, it was funny for you. All right. Sometimes that's all that matters.
Struggling.
Coming out tonight, the Ultimate Christmas 2018. All the details, 610sports.com. Hope to see you there. The road needs to come through Arrowhead. I've been kind of banging this drum. I want to win the West. I want to get the home field advantage throughout the postseason, I want that first round and the whole thing. I think it's imperative in this year to get home field advantage. I know history has not been good to home field advantage for the Chiefs.
History
is gone. Patrick Mahomes, this team, this defense, play these cats at home.
Right.
Who's going to get you?
Nobody's going to get you at home. I mean, we've talked about the two eras of Chiefs football, the BM era and the AM era, the before Mahomes bowel movement era of the Chiefs, and now we've got the after Mahomes movement of the Kansas City Chiefs right now. And everything that happened in the BM movement of the Kansas City Chiefs doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't. I mean, and everything that we have to focus on
now. It
wouldn't
be BM movement because that'd be redundant.
That would be redundant, yeah.
Get shirts made for that.
We just should. BM.
A buddy of mine said to me yesterday, he goes, that BM thing is great. I go, yeah, well, it's true. I mean, before Mahomes and after Mahomes, but the BM
movement. It was even better watching you realize it as you were saying it.
Yeah. Now, see, that one funny. The setup one, not as much.
Not as much.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it just doesn't matter. Like, I know there's anxiety, and I know there's a lot of nervous fans about this. But I talked to one of my friends yesterday, Sammy, who's the biggest nervous wreck Kansas City sports fan. I mean, this guy was texting me during Game 5 of the World Series that the Royals won, complaining about Ned, okay? So he's got anxiety at a different level than everybody else. And he said to me yesterday, he goes, yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, the past doesn't matter because Mahomes is such a difference maker, you know, for this team. And that's where I'm looking at it right now. Even if this team would have to go on the road and play, I still feel like they can beat anybody that's in their way. But playing at home gives them a huge advantage. The defense is much better at home. The crowd's going to be into it at home. And this team with this quarterback, they feed off of this jive at Kauffman Stadium like nobody else, or at Arrowhead Stadium, like no other team has before. Like, they're embracing this thing. They're part of it. They're one with it, man. It's really a good kind of symbiotic relationship that we have going on right now. And anybody that has to come in here and play Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense in January in Kansas City, they don't want to do that. And the history doesn't matter. I think this team right now is so good, like, don't even focus on the history. Focus on what they're going to be able to accomplish today.
21st and Prime on NFL Network discussing the home field advantage and brought up a statistic involving the Patriots away from home.
I don't care how it starts. At the end, the Patriots will be there.
But what we've seen is that the last three times they've had to go on the road in the playoffs, they've lost. The last time they won a road playoff game was 2007. They beat the man's team.
I think there's only one or two teams in the AFC that they can't go on the road and beat. Who? I think they can go beat Houston.
Yes.
You know, I think.
Which they hold a tiebreaker over because they beat Houston.
I think they can go beat the Steelers, the Ravens. We agree on that?
Yeah.
I think Kansas City and the Chargers are the teams that they would struggle with on the road.
Yeah. I think they can win. I know they can win it.
Okay.
Not my homeboy playing MVP
yeah,
level.
They can.
My homeboy. I do love that there by Shannon Sharp. Not my homeboy playing at an MVP level. That's pretty cool to say that. And you look at the New England Patriots, no wins on the road since 2007 in the postseason. That's going on 12 years by the time we reach 2019 in January. You're
also
looking at
the amount of times they played on the road since.
Well, that doesn't matter. We're not talking about details. So
two.
But they haven't won.
They haven't played away from home. That's a more ridiculous, like, Patriots stat. They've just been home the entire postseason.
Yeah.
For a decade.
And they went to Denver and lost a game, I remember, recently against Peyton Manning.
They've played 16 games in the postseason in the last decade.
Yeah.
Only two away.
Well, and how many of them have they won?
Oh, they lost in the 15 playoffs at Denver.
And they lost to Baltimore,
and they lost,
I believe,
at Denver as well in the 13 playoffs.
Yeah, so they didn't are.
Baltimore lost in like 07, too, which would
I
not
think
be
they
this
lost
decade.
To Baltimore at home in the postseason. And the next no they lost to Baltimore at home in the postseason.
Yes.
But no wins. No wins on the road since 2007 in the postseason. I mean, that's a big number. That's a big long stretch of time.
Also a very small sample size, Bob.
But they're not good on the road in the playoffs.
But if Chiefs history doesn't matter, then Patriots history doesn't matter either.
Well, I mean, now you're splitting hairs.
It is just a funny stat to think about. They have just simply not played on the road in the postseason.
They've been that good that they've had home field advantage every year for the last 20.
Yeah,
it's essentially what it is, right?
Yeah.
So, but when they do have to go on the road, they are, though, a completely different team.
They have a bigger body of work in neutral.
They do. Yeah, they do, right? They have more Super Bowl games than they do road playoff games in the last decade.
Crazy. Just crazy.
But they don't win on the road. So come on into Arrowhead Stadium and see what you can do.
Well, the Chiefs don't win in the playoffs.
Well, that's in the past, though. It doesn't matter.
Also, now the past doesn't matter. You can spin numbers
you out your
however direction you want.
That's exactly exactly right. And I'm spinning them the way that I want to spin them. The past doesn't matter at Arrowhead for the Chiefs and the BM part of their existence. But the past does matter for the New England Patriots when it comes to playing road playoff games.
Oh, I see how that works. I got it.
How good are the Patriots on the road this year? Are all four of their losses on the road this year? Or did they lose one game at home? Maybe this year they blew a game, but they got that Miami loss, obviously, was on the road.
They lost to Jacksonville. I believe that was on the road as well.
Yeah, and it was.
What was the first week of the season they lost to?
No, they lost an opener the first, yeah. And I don't remember who it was.
If only there was a website I could go to
and try to figure this out. But find this
information out.
But the real reason why it matters, and I don't want you to laugh at this because I'm not trying to be funny, New England can't cheat on the road. I mean, they can't cheat on the road.
Can't get Dougie Spoons to a road game? Hell yeah.
They lost to the Texans they beat the Texans.
Texans at home, lost at Jacksonville.
Oh, and then they lost to Detroit.
At Detroit. So all four of their losses this year have come on the road. So they are an average team at best on the road, and they lose on the road, guys. No, I'm being serious about this because they can't cheat. They can't rig the headsets. They can't deflate the footballs. They can't do kind of, do at home to give them that home field advantage. That's why it's important to play New England on the road, because they can't cheat on the road like they can cheat at home.
Oh, Dougie Spoons can travel.
Sure. Then why is the record so vastly different? Like, why are they like 80-1 at Foxborough? And when they go away from Foxborough Stadium,
deflated balls, you're right.
They're not as good. They're just not as good when
deflated
they have to travel.
Don't travel.
They can't cheat as well on the road as they can at home. And I firmly believe that they're a cheating organization.
More of using stats to your advantage when we come back. Also, we found an early Christmas gift under the tree. We'll explain next.
Get a life.
Fesco in the morning.
We found an early Christmas gift under the tree, Fesco. It is the gift.
Socks.
Socks are a good gift.
Socks are a good gift. It's the gift of hope.
At this time of year, Josh, we all want to hope.
Yeah, we all want to hope. And I think we've acknowledged we've been kind of living on hope for a while, I think.
But this
trying
is real
to talk ourselves. Trying to talk ourselves into some things with this year's edition of the Chiefs, who I think are very good and very capable of winning it all. And we've all overlooked their deficiencies because of 15 for the most part. But you were saddled in a long discussion among Chiefs fans yesterday, and it got us all thinking about the end game and what we see is maybe not necessarily the kryptonite, but still the weakness of this team. We know. Everybody knows.
What is it?
It's the defense.
Are you more concerned about the defense or Andy Reid going?
Was this in the news?
In the playoffs?
No, I'm fully convinced it's going to be the defense.
What's going to be
that?
The
if
defense?
It's going to be if it's going to end badly, it's because of the defense,
not
because of Andy clock management or Andy not running the football or all those things.
Can I just tell you, Patrick it's Mahomes not going to end badly.
That can overcome those things. If it ends badly, it's going to be because of the defense. This is different. You have the quarterback. You can overcome some things.
Sure, we've overcome a lot of things this year. I mean, if you just look. Like, if you're a sabermetrician, like, they love the stats, you know, and breaking out all the stats and everything. And I've always said stats are part of the story. They're not the whole story. If you just look at the stats for the Chiefs this year, you probably think they're a middle-of-the-road team,
like
right?
That Patriots road loss stat.
Well, we're not talking about that one. That is true.
Look, that was 5 minutes ago, okay?
Yeah, the Patriots are winless in the last 12 years away from Gillette Stadium in the postseason. That is a fact. That is 100% fact. There's no lying to that. There's no spinning
that. They're trying to do something they've never done if they come to Arrowhead, which is win a playoff game at Arrowhead.
Right. That's exactly what they've never won a playoff game at Arrowhead either. So, Belichick.
Chiefs have like two more wins.
Because the Chiefs have made
well,
be
Chiefs
better
have twice
than
as many wins as New England does at Arrowhead Stadium in the postseason.
That's comforting.
But here's the thing. Belichick's flying in guys right now to try to rig the system in there to cheat during the postseason. They've got scouts. They've got spies out there right now.
They already
the Patriots
gave TMZ
do.
That tape.
Yeah, they did. That's exactly right. But I think we were talking about if you just look at the stats of the Chiefs, like the bare stats, the rankings, you know, like all the major stats that they present to us, you would think the Chiefs are probably, you know, destined for an 8-8 type of season. But when you have number 15 under center and that guy out there doing what he does on an offensive side of things, he can make up for the stats that are on the defensive side of the football. And that's why, and I've said it before and I'll continue to say it with this team, Josh, you have to forget everything you've ever learned about football, because nothing that you've learned about football or were taught about the game of football, quite honestly, really applies to this Kansas City Chiefs team. I mean, the basics of football when we were growing up were you got to stop the run and you got to establish the run. I'll never forget being in high school football meetings with Pat Bobo, our coach, who was a Bobo, and he would always put the keys to the game every week where number one, stop the run. Number two, run the football. Like, those were the things that were beaten into your head. And then the teams, when we were growing up, you know, were winning games because they had great defenses and really good running attacks and things like that. But the game has changed, and the Chiefs have kind of been on the front edge of this. Like, the Chiefs were planning for this 5 years ago to get a lot of speed, a lot of talent on the offensive side, and then, boom, be ready to win because of the changing shape of the NFL. And with all the rules changes that have taken place right now, we can't continue to look at these stats that we were given as kids and try to figure out how a team's going to do this year, because it just isn't working out that way. There are a lot of teams right now in the NFL that aren't that great at stopping the run that are pretty successful football teams. You just don't have to be a great defensive team anymore if you have the pieces on offense.
Did you play your last game at a professional stadium or anything?
I did not.
Okay.
No.
Okay, cool.
Never played in a pro stadium.
At the Dome.
But you were discussing this with you have like lunch dates like four times a week.
Yeah. We did McCoy's yesterday for the last time. So, it's closing.
So
did you get yourself a spinach and mushroom quesadilla?
I did not. No.
So one of your latest lunch adventures, you guys were actually talking Chiefs.
Yes.
And you thought even the most pessimistic Chiefs fan has now been turned by Mahomes.
By Mahomes, right? Yeah. My buddy Sammy, man, that like he's the most pessimistic Kansas City sports fan. And I told you last segment, he's texting me in game five of the World Series that Ned should be fired. And I'm thinking to myself, you're out of your mind, man. You need to bring it down a notch and chill out a little bit. But like, that's the level I think a lot of fans have had. And so I always put him up there as the most pessimistic of all Kansas City sports fans. And he said to me yesterday, he goes, you know, now with Pat Mahomes and a quarterback, he says, you know, I'm not feeling this nervous energy going into the postseason. Like, he's like, even if we lose in the postseason, I know for like the next 15 years, we got a great shot to win a championship. And that hasn't always been the case before. Usually as Chiefs fans, when we made the playoffs, we thought, boy, we better do it now, or maybe we won't get back to the playoffs. What Patrick Mahomes has done has taken the most pessimistic Kansas City sports fan that I know, my buddy Sammy, and has turned this guy into one of the most optimistic Chiefs fans that I know right now that says, yeah, you know what? If we lose in the playoffs this year, so what? We still have 15 more years of going out there with Patrick Mahomes as our quarterback to give us an opportunity to win. If we don't win this year, we'll be back next year. And Josh, that has not been the case in Kansas City.
But that's a tough spot to be in too. You can't be just living on that either. Ask the Dolphins.
Right. Ask the Dolphins with Dan Marino.
With Dan Marino, got that the first time. Like, oh,
different era, right?
We're gonna be there every year. What's the knock now on Aaron Rodgers?
He only has one Super Bowl win. Yeah.
Like, I got one. Distant past.
Right.
I mean, you got to be careful what you wish for. I'll take that first one and then work on the second one. I don't have a problem with that.
But he's not saying he doesn't want to win.
Like, all out, like, get that first one, and then anything that happens is gravy, and we can worry about changing our bar at that point in time.
Right.
But I think that there's an opportunity this year, even with the deficiencies the Chiefs have, that I hope that they are able to run through, you know, all those roadblocks and get there. Because there's an opportunity this year that maybe you don't get in other
seasons. It's true, and I'm telling you right now, even the pessimistic fan that has turned now optimistic, I got to say, like, it's imperative that you do win a Super Bowl this year, because what happens in the NFL? teams start to catch up to you. I mean, I told you Philadelphia was going to be a lock for 8-8, and that's where they are this year. Things happen to you over the course of time, especially after you win a championship or have a great season. Sometime you do take your laurels and you do rest on them. It does happen. I mean, and so
I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be great, but if he goes for a 50 touchdown year this year, is that
the bar? Is that like his average? He better get there every year.
Is his bar going to be something that's only happened then 3 times in NFL history?
Yeah,
I mean he's having a season.
Yes, he is.
That you better cash in on.
You do, and I'm kind of with you on that one. Like I'm not saying they don't need to win a Super Bowl this year. No, I think it's imperative that the Chiefs do win that Super Bowl this year because as we move forward, other teams will start to
and
get better.
And I think, yes, your quarterback gives you the opportunity to be a contender each and every year.
Sure.
But you also have to strike when you can. And I think this year, looking at the other teams in the AFC,
right,
the Patriots being a little, I mean, not quite Patriot-like,
right.
Okay? There's some
holes there.
The
Steelers are a dirt.
The Steelers are suddenly fading down the stretch.
Yep.
You know, some of these other quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, for instance, he's getting
up there in age.
Go.
Yeah, like take advantage of the opportunity.
I know this defense isn't perfect. It isn't perfect, and it will be better in the future.
Will it, though?
I think it will. Okay. I think. I don't know that they'll be better name. I mean, there's still some good names in this defense.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But will you get better overall performance? Yeah, they're gonna have better defenses moving forward. I'm sure of that. I don't think they're going to be, you know, bottom-ranked defense forever and ever.
I know. Like,
through Patrick Mahomes. If not, you're going to be in some trouble probably sustaining Patrick Mahomes if you have the worst defense in the NFL each and every year. Mm-hmm. But there's an opportunity, and they got to grab it.
Yeah, there's a big opportunity here. And you know what's going to happen, too, this offseason? Defensive coordinators got a whole year on Patrick Mahomes. They're going to sit around, you know, in January and February and March and April and May as they get ready to face the Kansas City Chiefs and think, how can we stop this guy? And that's going to be a badge for all the defensive coordinators that they're going to face next year, whether it's in the division or outside the division. Defensive coordinators are going to want to show, hey, my defense shut down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. You go and do that as a defensive coordinator, that could lead you to getting a head coaching job in the NFL. So I think there's going to be a lot of motivated defensive coordinators this offseason to try to figure out how to scheme and plan and stop Patrick Mahomes over the course of a season.
Not exactly possible or probable, but we sift through some of the haze next.
Fesco in the morning.
Again on a Wednesday, it is Fesco in the morning, along with Bob Fesco, Ryan Witkowski. I'm Josh Klingler. Chiefs getting ready for the Chargers, of course, on Thursday night. The injury report is pretty long. Spencer Ware, Sammy Watkins, Cam Irving, all did not practice yesterday with injuries. All questionable, probably, at this point, heading into Thursday. Patrick Mahomes is actually on the injury list as well. Left wrist injury.
Oh, my God. What?
Was a full practice, though. Huh.
He doesn't need his left wrist.
Yeah, certainly not.
Well, that isn't all true. He sometimes does.
Sometimes
need that
does.
Left, yeah.
But if it's limited, I'm good with that.
Yeah,
as long as the other one's okay. Tyreek Hill was limited yesterday after being a did not practice on Monday. So,
did anybody practice on Monday? I mean, that was a game against the Ravens where everybody got beat up pretty bad.
I think the Monday one is ridiculous because I wouldn't have them on the field at all.
No, I mean, that was a hard-hitting, tough game, and then to have a quick turnaround after a game like that. Like, that was, I think, the most physical game of the year was against the Ravens. And now you got a quick turnaround. Thank goodness you don't have to get on a plane today and fly.
Eric Berry listed as limited with his heel injury. I know we all kind of...
Oh.
Andy Reid said there was a chance. So you're saying that... Yes, he was saying, actually, for the first time, there was a chance. Bob Sutton asked yesterday about the potential of Eric Berry being out there, but being kind of limited in how many plays he would have, and didn't dispute the fact that he could have plays on the field.
Yeah, we'll keep him, and you know, Rick's going to keep it. If he plays all the time, I mean, you know, how much, I don't know what he's going to do yet, and just wait and see. But yeah, that it'd be all of us, and certainly his input is valuable. But you know, a lot of times, you know, guys that have missed a lot of time, they don't want to come back out, you know. They've been waiting all this time to get in. But you got to be smart, and he's got to be smart with it, which I think he would be. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes, you know.
But he didn't say we're not there yet.
Yeah, well, very interesting comments, though, by Bob Sutton when he says sometimes guys get injured and they don't want to come back in. Was that a
They don't want to come back out. He's saying they don't want to come back out. They get on the field and they want to just play and play and play. And you're like, no, really, you should only be playing 10 plays here.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
You want to stay in for 40.
No, it's like when you were sick for 2-3 days and you finally got to go outside and play as a kid.
Right. Okay.
You never wanted to come back.
You shouldn't overdo it.
Oh, I thought he was saying, like, sometimes you're out and you just don't want to play anymore. I'm like, what are you talking about?
He was saying you don't want to come back out of the game.
Got you. I got you. Okay.
Once you're in, you want to play. Like, you're 100%. When you're not 100%.
Well, that's where the player input has to come in, though. And he says, we'll listen to what the player has to say. No, I think the player needs to be listened to more. I think that's part of the reason why we've seen a lot of injuries on this team, because I don't think they value the player's opinion enough, and they try to rush him back, Justin Houston, and then they turn into 3 years of trying to get a guy right. So if Eric Berry says...
Well, that would mean don't listen to the player as much. Justin Houston, you should have said, we're saving you from yourself.
I mean, that's always been the argument, right? Like the competitive nature in these guys will make them do stupid things and put their bodies on the line and risk injury.
That's what you like to hear, but there's pressure on a National Football League team to come back quicker than when you're expected to come back. We're paying you all this money. You need to get out here. You're fine. I mean, it goes
all the more
on
reason to not
building.
Listen to the player.
No. I'm saying from a team standpoint that happens. I think from a player standpoint, a player knows his own body. If he's not 100% and he's not ready to go, he's not going to go out there and perform.
Really?
I mean, I don't think so.
I mean, you think Eric Berry hasn't heard or at least seen some of the fan comments about him being an overpaid cheerleader and sitting on the side and how he doesn't have toughness?
Do you think
which I think is entirely inaccurate.
Do you think that really matters to Eric Berry?
I don't think that matters as much as some of the maybe pressure of looking around and seeing the team and the position they're in.
And like, I want to be out there helping
them. Yes, exactly. I think there's that. I think there's the pressure of having a big contract and not being able to be on the field. I think that there's pressure of looking out there and saying, wow, we're a defense away from being a really great team.
They're 11-2.
Right, but let's not sit here and act like their defense is great, Bob. Like, I mean, that's the biggest question mark we have heading into the playoffs is, are you going to be able to keep pace or at least keep teams out of the end zone? I mean, Trent Dilfer was with us on Monday. He said, I don't think that any team's ever just outscored everybody on their way to the Super Bowl.
Right, and this is a new era, again, of football that we have to look at, and the quarterback gives you the opportunity to do that, and the plays that they make on the offensive side gives you that opportunity. I also think the mental thing factors in big, because if you're a team playing the Chiefs right now, if you get down 7-0 and then you get the ball back, you know, right after they say they get the opening kickoff tomorrow night, they march down the field, they score 7 points. Now, all of a sudden, there is a ton of pressure on you offensively to answer that score, because the last thing you want to do is fall down 14-0. You fall down 14-0, you can write your ticket home, man. It's done. The game is over in those type of situations. So I think that I think the offense right now, with the way that they're playing, puts so much pressure on the opposing offense, because you have to try to match them score for score, and the minute you don't, you'll fall behind by two scores, you're pretty much falling out of the game. So I think while we're sitting here saying, yeah, the defense has to be better, which it did, and I'm not saying it doesn't need to be better, there is so much added mental pressure that is put on the opposing offense to try to go score for score with this Chiefs team right now.
I still think you've lost me on the don't listen to the player portion of this conversation, because I think that much like any way you diagnose a team, a player, whatever, you have to take in consideration the player.
That's what I'm saying. You have to listen to the player. And if he says he's not ready, then he can't go.
Right, but I think most players are saying I'm ready and aren't ready to go. I think that happens more often than not. I think Tyreek Hill's going to tell me he's fine. He's not. And they have to balance what he says, yes, versus what they're also seeing is, well, we have to save you from yourself. I think that happens all the time in the NFL.
What if a player goes out there, though, in the way the NFL is, and he's not 100% but says that he is, goes out there and plays, doesn't play real well, then gets cut and then has no money? I think that factors in now, too, with the way that these guys and teams are jettisoning these mid-range players.
I think you
players,
have to determine the personality of each particular player. I don't think that's a blanket statement about people. I think there's probably plenty of guys that are saying, man, I got to protect me. And there's plenty of guys. Mm-hmm. I think Eric Berry falls in that category. He just wants to get out there and help your team. Tyreek Hill, I think we've seen that, too, that if he wasn't 100%, he certainly didn't tell them that the other night. Like, I'm going to go back out there. So I think there are plenty of examples of that. I think Justin Houston got rushed back because Justin Houston wanted to play. I don't think Justin Houston got rushed back because the franchise mandated he be out there on one knee. I think he wanted to play. It was a bad decision, and they probably should have overruled the player in that situation. So I think there are plenty of instances, but those are the checks and balances you have to have. And that's why Bob Sutton's saying we're going to check with the player. We're going to check with the doctor, and we're probably going to use our own eye test involving Eric Berry. And that's the way you got to go. Eric Berry's probably going to tell him, yeah, I can go 50 plays. And they're going, nah, I think 10 probably good for you. Mm-hmm. Heck, 3 might be good for you.
3 may be good.
I'd take 3. I'd take 3 Eric Berry plays. You give me, and that's not including him coming out of the tunnel, firing everybody up, firing his team up, firing the crowd up, being introduced, all those things, and one series, and I'm good.
And then he only plays one series, and then here we are Friday morning. Did he re-injure that?
No, just like it's a process.
So let's not act like men are real great when it comes to taking the advice of medical professionals.
No, that is true.
There's a whole advertising series we've
probably
had.
Probably take the next week off work. Screw you, I'm going to work.
Doing that.
But I think the end result is this: honesty is the best policy. Because
if they were forcing, if the NFL told us
what was going on,
if the NFL was so mean and they're forcing everybody to get back out there sooner, then we'd have Eric Berry back in week 5. It hasn't happened.
Well, it would be easier if everybody was just honest, and so we wouldn't have to sit here and speculate.
Oh, absolutely,
as what's going on?
Absolutely, if they just came out and said, "We missed on this one. It took him a lot longer than we thought it was going to be. He wanted to be out there. We wanted him out there. Didn't work out that way. We're doing our best to get him out there."
Right, and just be honest with everybody, and then people wouldn't have to speculate, and you wouldn't have people questioning Eric Berry's toughness. Like, that bothers me more than anything. You can question some players' toughness, man. There have been guys over the years you could look at and go, that guy's a turd, right? But Eric Berry is not one of those guys, and for fans to be questioning his motives and everything on social media, that's just ludicrous, man. That's you're an insane individual if you're questioning Eric Berry.
That's idle time. Who scares you?
Twitter.
Who scares you coming to Arrowhead in a stat you won't believe involving one potential foe? Next.
Fesco in the morning.